I'm pulling away from the curb because I dropped my son off at school. We all know what that means. It's time for their drive to work. Okay, so today's podcast is based on an article I did talking about the history of the two-in-one. So I guess I should start by saying, what is the two-in-one? So the idea of a two-in-one is a card in which there are two cards on one card. Maybe two cards on the same face, maybe one on one face, one on the other face. But the idea is there's two distinct cards. And the way I'm defining that is that each card has its own name and maybe has its own art. They don't always have their own art. But the idea in that the card represents sort of two unique cards. And that they have their own name and often their cost. And they're just two distinct things. And we've done that a bunch of different times. And so I'm just sort of talking about the evolution of this and sort of big picture. Why do we make them? What are we doing? Okay, so the story starts in Alpha. Richard is making something called the Boons, nicknamed the Boons. So the idea was that it was a cycle of instants that all cost a single colored mana and then gave you three of something. The blue one drew you three cards. The black one gave you three black mana. The red one did three damage to any target. And the green one was +3/+3 to target creature. The white one was a little trickier. There wasn't a white option that was quite as good as the other ones. Obviously, people who know of the boons know that they're not really equal. The blue one is way more powerful than the others. But anyway, he ended up making a card called Healing Salve. So the interesting thing about Healing Salve is it either gained you three life or it prevented three damage, meaning he gave you two options. Now, the technology didn't exist at the time, but this would later be what we call modes. So modes usually says choose one, and then it has bullet points, and from those you get to choose some number of them. Modes can tell you how many you choose and how many modes there are and such. But that was the earliest case, and obviously we're talking Alpha, where one card did two different things. Now, it wasn't quite a two-in-one yet. They shared the same cost. They didn't have different names. I'm only pointing out that from the very beginning, you could see the idea that one card could do multiple things. We then get to Unglued, which is a couple years later. And in Unglued, one of the things... So Unglued was the first unset. And the idea was, let's make a set that doesn't have a normal border, had a silver border, and that we could do things we can't normally do. And the idea at the time was it would be non-tournament legal, which kind of meant it was more stuff that was more casual friendly. Now, I did do stuff that the rules didn't allow. I mean, I really sort of broke all the boundaries I could. I talked about multiplayer play. I made tokens for the first time. I just was trying a lot of different things. But one of the things I did was I went and talked to the graphic design / printing teams. And I said to them, what can't, like, not, I know what we do, but what can we do? And one of the things they explained to me is the way we make Magic cards is we print them on a sheet and then we chop them up. But the sheet we print is like 11 by 11 usually. There's other variants. But anyway, what they said is, hey, you can have things bleed between cards as long as they're next to each other on the sheet. And from that, I got the idea of doing a card called BFM. So BFM, a big furry monster, was a card so big, 99.99, that it had to go on two cards. It had a left side and a right side. In order to play BFM, you had to draw the left side and draw the right side. And then it was like 15 black mana. It was very expensive. But the idea was, hey, if you could do it, if you could pull it off, here's this giant reward, a 99.99 creature. So it was the number one rated, I'll say card, but cards, I guess there's two of them, in Unglued. So I was making Unglued 2 the next year. So Unglued 2, Unglued came out, did really well out of the gate. We had never done a supplemental set before. We overprinted it. So I started making Unglued 2, but then they realized they had made too much. And basically, in order to make money selling magic sets, you have to both sell what you make and not make too much. And so we made too much. So anyway, Unglued 2, after I made it, got put on hiatus. It didn't come out. But anyway, in Unglued 2, I was playing around. So BFM, like, okay, BFM is popular. So if people like a card so big that it has to go on two cards, what about a card so little that two cards fit on one card? And I made basically what I called the split cards. So the idea was I wanted the graphic I was going for was that this one card held two little mini cards on it. And the dimensions worked pretty well. If you turn it sideways, the dimensions were pretty close to having two little cards. And the idea there is because there were two little cards, I went the full distance. They each had a name. They each had art. They each had a mana cost. And because I wanted them to really be different, I wasn't trying to make a mode where they had the same cost. So what I did is I made a cycle of five split cards. Each one had two cards in a different color, all ally colored. So there was a white and blue. There was a blue and black, a black and red, a red and green, a green and white. Anyway, I made them. I got the art. I mean, they were all done. And then the product got canceled. I mean, it got put on hiatus, but a hiatus that never ended. So it got canceled. But in my heart of heart, I really believed in the split cards. I thought the split cards were really clever. So a bunch of years later, I'm working on Invasion. So Bill Rose was the lead designer on Invasion. It was me and Mike Elliott. And the set had a multicolor theme. So I'm like, okay, like these cards, like you can play them, I guess, in a monocolor deck if you're willing to just play one of the two abilities. But where they shine is in a multicolor deck where I can play both abilities. Invasion had a ally colored theme. So I went to Bill and I said, Bill, and we had mocked up what they looked like because we were making them. So I showed him like the finished product. And I had art and, I mean, these cards were very close to being printed. So I had a pretty finished version of it. I mean, with names and art and everything. And Bill liked it. Bill says, that's pretty clever. Mike Elliott, on the other hand, did not like it. He hated it. He really, he tried to convince us not to do it. Now, I should stress at the time, we had never made a magic card outside of Unglued that didn't look like a magic card. But in Unglued, I messed around. I turned things sideways. I had a card of two cards. I mean, I did a lot of things where I was messing around with what a magic card could be. And Mike felt, and this is often the case, that we just had gone to a place we shouldn't. Magic cards look a certain way, and this wasn't a magic card. I argued it was a magic card. It's just a little teeny tiny magic card. But anyway, so Mike made a hard press not to do it. But Bill liked it. I liked it. We were 2/3 of the team. Bill put it in the file. Then it came to the rest of... So it turns out, I think Richard Garfield, who at the time had nothing to do with magic, did look at them and did like them. He was one person that said he thought they were very cool. That was it. Me, Richard, Bill were it. The rest of R&D didn't want to do them. The brand team at the time, which wasn't part of R&D, didn't want to do them. I remember the very first meeting we had, the very first development meeting, Henry Stern was the lead developer of the set. He's like, could we just kill these right now? And I had to say, hey, Henry, before we kill them, let's play with them. And I explained to them, I go, there's lots of ways we can lay this out. Yes, the way I laid them out is what I think is the most dramatic, but, you know, it could have a normal cost and a secondary cost. There's other ways to do it. Let's play with them first. Let's just see if they're fun. And they were fun because casting two things is fun. You know, having a choice is fun. Bill likewise convinced Bran not to kill them. And anyway, we little by little got people to play with them. And as people played with them, it slowly won them over. And then when it came time to lay them out, it just, we did look at other options. We actually looked at a bunch of options, but nothing was either as endearing as the split card layout, nor as intuitive as the split card layout. Having two little mini cards, people got it. They knew what to do with it. Anyway, it came out, split cards were a giant hit. The players weren't, like, one of the things is when you are the people whose job it is to figure out what the game is supposed to be, you're like, oh, the game is this or isn't that. When you're a player, hey, the game is what it is. If we make split cards, well, then now the game has split cards. And as you will see, most of the history of the 2-1s is there's some skepticism, but we make them and players go, okay, sounds fun, great. Okay, so we made split cards. We entered into the idea of two and ones. And okay, so there were dumb, like, split cards would come back from time to time. We did them in Ravnica when we needed, like, the third set of Ravnica. We're trying to find a way to sneak in some of the first seven guilds, because the third set was just the third guild. Planar Chaos did a cycle of monocolor red split cards. We eventually did split cards with something we call Fuse in Dragon's Maze, where you could play both sides. But anyway, split cards became something. People liked them. They became a resource. We used them. Okay. The next sort of innovation on them... Oh, before I get to the next innovation. So, in Odyssey, which came out after split cards, Richard Garfield had invented a mechanic called Threshold. And the idea of Threshold was that it showed dual states, that things could be in a one state, and then at some point in time, all the things with this mechanic would change, that there would be a uniform change, not just a single card change, but a whole bunch of cards. Richard ended up choosing the graveyard. He liked the idea the graveyard started empty, so it's not a resource you began the game with, like life or something, but it is something that naturally, by the natural evolution of the game, would fill up over time. Creatures would die, spells would get cast, like, eventually your graveyard would fill up, and you had some control over your graveyard. You could discard cards. You could mill yourself. Like, you could do things. And so it ended up being pretty dynamic. But there was a card on it called Krosan Beast. The idea of Krosan Beast was it was a little white 1-1 squirrel. I mean, not white, it's green. A little 1-1 squirrel that through lycanthropy turned into a giant beast. And on the card, it starts as a 1-1. It says like squirrel beast on its... creature type line, but we only could show one picture because, you know, most cards have one picture, so we show the beast because the beast is more exciting than the squirrel. And just the idea that, oh, the reason it's 1-1 is it's a squirrel that turns into a giant beast. People didn't really get that. It only had one name, which was Krosan Beast. It only had one art, which showed Krosan Beast. And yeah, there's a little tiny reminder. I mean, yeah, it starts as a 1-1. Yeah, it says squirrel on the creature type line. But people weren't really getting that. And so that's one of the things we talked about, is that when you only show one element, like if a card represents two states, but you creatively only show one state, it's just hard to get the two states. It's tricky to do. So, and Richard and I had been talking about that, and we sort of went back and forth on, like, what's the solution to that problem? So meanwhile, a couple years later, we're making Champions of Kamigawa. And we're in development. So Champions is interesting, where it was one of those rare sets. I wasn't on the design team, but I was on the development team. Brian Tinsman led the design team. Bill Rose had come up with the idea of, let's make a set, like sort of a top-down set where let's design the world first and then design the mechanic second. And one of the lessons we learned from that is that flavor is a lot more flexible than mechanics, and so it ended up being a little bit ham-fisted just because... Once creative was locked, it was hard. Mechanically, it was hard to adapt to that. But anyway, one of the ideas that we came up with was something that Richard and I had bandied about in trying to solve the threshold thing, was flip cards. So flip cards, you played one side had a cost, and then you could activate it, and then you turned the card 180 degrees. And the other side had its own name and its own text box, and the art... Half the art you could see one direction, half the art you could see the other direction. So there was only one art box, but kind of there was a left side and a right side. And the left side, on your orientation, the left side would show you the picture that was your card. And the idea was that it was two cards in one. And it fixed kind of the problem we saw with Threshold, which was it identified the two. Well, here's this thing. We'll name it. We'll show you a piece of art. Okay, then becomes this thing. We'll name it. We'll show it a piece of art. Split cards obviously had two cards in one, but they weren't permanent. They were instants and sorceries. And so flip cards was our first stab at trying to solve a permanent that changed states. Now, people were interested in flip cards, and they were definitely fans of flip cards. Flip cards had a couple problems. The biggest one was a functionality problem, which was if I turn my card sideways... How do you know which side? If it's face up, then okay, the face up side. But when I turn it sideways, some people tap to the right. some tap to the left. The game doesn't dictate which way it is. So if you see a tapped flip card, you honestly don't know which one it is. I mean, maybe you remember me flipping it, but without having some memory of what happened, you don't know. You can't just look at the battlefield and tell what's going on. The other thing was aesthetically, it just was a little bit muddled. It didn't look that pretty. The art, the fact that half was one, half the art was like upside down, it just didn't quite have the appeal. Now, once again, we were trying to solve something, and so it did a job of solving it. But one of the things in general about two-in-one cards is aesthetics are important, and a lot of what we learn is where we succeed most is where the aesthetics really line up. Split cards did a good job. Get it? They're two mini cards. You can cast one of the mini cards. People sort of got that. Flip cards were a little bit trickier. Okay, but then we get to Innistrad. So in Innistrad, we're trying to solve the werewolf problem, which is we want to make werewolves. So we realized early on in Innistrad, we're doing gothic horror. We want to do monsters. We had done vampires. We'd done zombies. We'd done spirits. We really hadn't done many werewolves. I think there were two before Innistrad, two or three. But they were nothing special. I think maybe there were three. There was nothing special. They were pretty lackluster. But the thing I said, okay, let's really, if we can deliver on werewolves, I know we can do this set. And I said, here's what I want. I want two states. I want to have a human state. I want to have a werewolf state. Because the nature of a werewolf is they go back and forth between human and werewolf. That's what werewolves are all about. So Tom Lapilli, who was on the team, said, well, in Duel Masters, which is a card game we make for Japan, we have double-faced cards. We have cards that they don't start in your deck in Duel Masters. They start in the uber-dimensional zone. But through cards that are in your deck, you can bring them from the uber-dimensional zone onto the battlefield. And then there are ways by which you can turn them from one side to the other. And so we tried it. Now, I'll admit, I was pretty skeptical when we first tried it, just because it was a big leap. But I'm like, okay, we should try it. And it turned out to be amazing. Now, the original plan we had for Magic was that there would be a one-sided card you would put in your deck. When you cast it, you went and got the double face version, which kind of would act like a token. And then you would put that on the battlefield, and it would go back and forth. It turns out that in order to, like, we wanted them to show up together in the booster pack. We have a lot of printers. Some of them couldn't do it. The ones that could do it couldn't promise they could do it 100% of the time. So we ended up doing some research. We found out that like 95% of constructed players play with opaque sleeves, most of which are opaque sleeves. So we just made them double faced. Then we came up with the checklist thing. We're like, okay, if you don't have opaque sleeves, here's a card that you can check what it is, put it in, and the checklist card will kind of act as the one sided, one faced version that you could put in your deck if you don't have sleeves. Now, there was a lot of resistance internal. There were people that really, really, really felt we should not make double-faced cards. That Magic having a back was a thing that Magic should not break. Again, we made them anyway. I was pretty passionate about the idea. And they came to huge fanfare. Not that there weren't people that didn't like them. There are logistics that come with them. You know, I have to either use checklist cards or put them in my thing, and then I got to turn them over. And when they're in my hand, I don't have all the information about the backside. There were a lot came with trading, transforming double face cards. But they were exciting, and they did something that flip cards did not do, which is they gave each element of the card got its own face. I got name, I got art, I got the full card size. I wasn't crammed, I wasn't fitting two pieces of art in one. It looked like a normal Magic card. And when I turned it over, it also looked like a normal Magic card. And what we realized was, we could tell stories. Like, one of the challenges whenever you're doing a piece of art and the card has two states, you can't show both states. You can show state one, you can show state two, you can show it transforming into state two. But you have to pick something. You can't show both. But all of a sudden, transforming double-faced cards said you could. You want to show the human and then show the werewolf? You can. And that allowed us creatively to tell some stories and make cards that did things we didn't normally get to do. There were a lot of... One of the things about Innis Ride, original Innis Ride, is we ended up using the double face cards not just on the werewolves, so the werewolves all were double face cards, but on multiple things, what we call dark transformation. It's a little girl, she becomes a demon. There's a scientist that turns into a fly. Mr. Hyde, or Dr. Jekyll becomes Mr. Hyde. Like, you could see a lot, there's a lot of tropes in horror of dark transformation. And so, and one of the themes that ran through all of Innistrad was the idea of that the monsters were once human. That was a pretty big thing. So anyway, those came out to much fanfare. Then, when they came back on our second return to Innistrad, we, not in the first set, but in the second set, in Eldritch Moon, Ken Nagel had been trying to figure out how to solve the problem. He wanted to do BFM and normal magic. Remember, BFM, there was a left side, there was a right side. It made a giant card that was two cards big. And he was trying to figure out how to do that. In New Phyrexia, he messed around with something called Link, where there was like a left side and a right side, and any left side could join any right side. And anyway, he tried a bunch of different things. But it was not until he saw double-faced cards. And I don't think he... I think he figured this out, like, after we were done. Like he figured out after we were done. Was that you could use double-faced technology to do the BFM thing. And the way you did it was you would put it on the back of the card. So the idea is, instead of having two cards in your hand that you have to cast and then they come together, you would have two cards that enter on the battlefield, and if they're both on the battlefield together, or could be like one on battlefield, one in graveyard, you have some options. But the idea was they would transform, they would flip over, and then you make a giant card. Ends up, by the way, that going, making the giant card so that the you went sideways had better dimensions than I had done. What I had done in BFM, the left side and the right side, was kind of clever, and it gave each, it made it easier in your hand to understand this is the left side, this is the right side. If it was top and bottom, maybe that would have been a little bit trickier. But in Meld, we ended up doing top and bottom, and it just looked better. But anyway, and the thing that we had learned about the double phase cards is there's just a lot of, there's a lot of innovations. There's a lot of things that double phase cards should do. And as I get further along, it's interesting here. I'm well into my story, but I don't think I'm getting done in 10 minutes. Let me finish talking about Meld. So we tried to do a bunch of things with the Meld. We really tried to, I think it was Ken's idea to have more Meld, but it turns out that Meld is just very complicated. And they ended up just doing a vertical cycle. There was one at common, one at rare, one at mythic rare. And they were very exciting. And the world, the story of Eldritch Moon was Emrakul had been lured to Innistrad and was mutating things. And so, you know, two angels are merging into one angel. We could do a cool card like that. And there just were fun stories that we could do where the Meld made a lot of flavor sense. Once again, came out to great fanfare. Players really liked the Meld. The one big complaint was you didn't get a Meld a lot. The two commons every once in a while. I mean, the problem for Meld in Limited is you have to first get both cards, which is not easy to do. A little easier in draft than it is in sealed. Then you have to draw both cards, you know, and play them and have them stay out at the same time. That is just not easy to meld into something. In Constructed, you can have four of each. It's a little bit easier to pull off in Constructed. It's a lot harder in Limited. The interesting thing, by the way, is one of the things with Meld is we've been fascinated by the idea of other ways to do Meld. In Unstable, I made a thing called Host and Augment, which was kind of used Meld technology, but a front-face Meld technology, not back-face. And the idea being I play the host first, and then when I play the augment, I put it on top of the host card. So it kind of turned into a larger card. A little more akin actually to the BFM in that it's wider rather than tall. But the idea was I added to the first card to make a combination of the two cards. I didn't actually, in my article, I didn't do host and augment. Maybe I should have in retrospect. The cards do have two different names and then come together to make one card. Although the one card is a combination of their names. Like when you make Meld, it's just a unique different card. You're making a brand new card that didn't exist and that's the new card. Where Host and Augment, they were designed so that when you made the melded version, they had a new name in the sense it was a combination of the two names. So the interesting thing about Host and Augment was that it tried to do something that we hadn't been able to do with Meld, right? That you could have a left side and a right side. And the way it works is any host creature can combine with any attack. You know, any attach can go on any host. And there's a whole bunch of hosts and a whole bunch of attach. So there's a lot of mix and matching and opportunities. And whereas Meld didn't really work in Limited, Host and Augment did work in Limited. Because Host A stood by themselves. Host had entered the battlefield effect. So you could just play a host. And then Augment just turned your host into better things. The idea is when you covered it up, you would keep the trigger condition. You would keep the effect, but change the trigger condition. The card you put on would go to the left side. And then it would add a new name, you would change the name. And the idea is it would make a combination thing that was the two. We have messed with, in normal Magic, trying to make melds that have a left side and a right side. There are two giant obstacles. Obstacle number one is the creative obstacle, which is Hosted Augment looked goofy. But it was in a set that was all about being goofy, and so that was okay. The idea that the left side was one creature and the right side was that, we came up with a pretty clever solution within Unglued where there's a little bar that they and the bar would always line up. So that's how we made sure that the two things would link together artistically, because there's a little bar that they had a link to, the little metal thing. And the idea was when you put them together, kind of the left side came out of the bar and the right side came out of the bar. So they always looked like they belonged together, even though they were weird and quirky. Trying to solve for a more realistic looking thing that is half and half is very challenging, and it's proven to be something we've really struggled with and have trouble with. For the Brothers War, we did try left and right augment, and the reason we did it, it's experiments, and it captures the innovation of Urza and Mishra doing all their experiments. The problem is it ended up, it just, the flavor didn't really match Urza. It was kind of introducing something that wasn't quite how it played out. And so we decided not to do it there. We have looked at it in other places. I do think there will come a time and place where we find a place to do left and right meld. I mean, we still haven't solved the creative element. We have solved the creative element. Mechanically, there's some challenge to making it work. And we've found some solutions. Like I said, part of what it wants to be is that the left side and the right side come together to make something that is unique, that is neither the left side or the right side. And like I said, Host Augment did accomplish this. So we've done it once. It did it in a way that normal Magic doesn't quite work that way. But it's not that far away. Host Augment is really not that far away. Barring the silliness of the creative, it's not that far away mechanically from what we could do. So I do think Meld is something we will see more of. And like I said, we've learned that players like Meld. You've seen us do, obviously in Brothers War, we ended up doing Meld, and we did Urza and Mishra and stuff. That was very fun. So anyway, guys, I figured out early on this article was a two-part article, and this podcast is going to have to be a two-part podcast. I realized partway through that I have enough information that I can't possibly do it in one podcast. So we are going to wrap up right here. So just to recap, at this point. So I also want to mention here, not a lot. I am more than halfway through Chronology Magic. I am all the way up to Eldritch Moon. I don't know off the top of my head what Eldritch Moon is, but it is more than halfway through Magic's life. So Split Cards did not happen until Invasion, which was 2000. It took 7 years to get to Split Cards. Flip Cards were another 4 years later. And so that is 11 years into Magic. And then another 7 years before Double Face Cards. So that is 18 years into Magic before Double Face Cards. And I'm talking about Meld, which is the return. So what's another 4 years or so? So we are two-thirds the way into Magic's existence. And we have definitely dipped our toe here. We've made Split Cards, we made Flip Cards, we made Double Face Cards. But what you'll see in the next thing is we really start picking up the pace. The idea of two and ones as we get, as magic moves around and we're looking more for innovation as it evolves, we start doing more stuff. And so next time I will talk about that. But anyway, guys, I'm now at work. So we all know what that means. It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.